bone swollen purple with the beatings he'd received while imprisoned. His brown eyes, usually wry, were wide and desperate. Even maltreated, he was a handsome sod. By contrast, Arendt's scalp was shorn, his nose punched flat. Somebody had bitten a chunk out of his right ear in a fight, and a clumsy flogging a few years back had left him with a long scar across his chin and neck. "We'll be safe once we reach the docks," said Arendt stubbornly, having to raise his voice as cheers erupted ahead of them. The procession was being led by Governor-General Jon Hahn, who was stiff-backed on a white stallion, a breastplate fastened above his doublet, a sword clattering at his waist. 13 years ago, he'd purchased the village that had stood here on behalf of the United East India Company. No sooner had the natives signed the contract than he'd put a torch to it, using its ashes to plot out the roads, canals, and buildings of the city that would take its place. Batavia was now the company's most profitable outpost, and Jon Hahn had been called back to Amsterdam to join the company's ruling body, the enigmatic Gentleman 17. As his stallion trotted along the boulevard, the crowd wept and cheered, stretching their fingertips towards him, trying to touch his legs. Flowers were thrown on the ground, blessings bestowed. He ignored it all, keeping his chin up and eyes forward. Beak-nosed and bald-headed, he put Arendt in mind of a hawk perched atop a horse. 4 panting slaves struggled to keep pace with him. They were carrying a gilded palanquin with the Governor-General's wife and daughter inside, a red-faced lady's maid scurrying alongside it, fanning herself in the heat. Behind them, 4 bow-legged musketeers gripped the corners of a heavy box containing the folly. Sweat dripped from their foreheads and coated their hands, making it difficult to hold. They slipped frequently, fear flashing across their faces. They knew the punishment should the Governor-General's prize be damaged. Trailing them were a disorderly cluster of courtiers and flatterers, high-ranking clerks and family favourites, their years of scheming rewarded by the opportunity to spend an uncomfortable afternoon watching the Governor-General leave Batavia. Distracted by his observations, Arendt allowed a gap to form between himself and his charge. A stone whistled by, hitting Sammy on the cheek, bringing a trickle of blood and jeers from the crowd. Losing his temper, Arendt scooped up the stone and hurled it back at the thrower, catching him on the shoulder and sending him spinning to the ground. The crowd howled in outrage, surging into the watchmen who struggled to hold them back. "Good throw," murmured Sammy appreciatively, ducking his head as more stones rained down around them. Arendt was limping by the time they reached the docks, his huge body aching. Sammy was bruised, but mostly untouched. Even so, he let out a cry of relief as the gates swung open ahead of them. On the other side was a warren of crates and coiled ropes, piled high casks and chickens squawking in wicker baskets. Pigs and cows stared at them mournfully, as bellowing stevedores loaded cargo into rowboats bobbing at the water's edge, ready to be transported to the 7 Indiaman galleons anchored in the glistening harbour. Sails furled and masts bare, they resembled dead beetles with their legs in the air, but each would soon teem with over 300 passengers and crew. People rattled their coin purses at the ferries rowing back and forth, pushing forward when the name of their ship was called. Children played hide-and-seek among the boxes, or else clutched their mother's skirts, while fathers glared at the sky, trying to shame a cloud out of that fierce blue expanse. The wealthier passengers stood a little apart, surrounded by their servants in expensive trunks. Grumbling under their umbrellas, they fanned themselves futilely, sweating into their lace ruffs. The procession halted, and the gates began to close behind them, dimming the sound of the braying mob. A few final stones bounced off the crates, bringing the assault to an end. Letting out a long sigh, Arendt bent double, hands on his knees, sweat dripping from his forehead into the dust. "How badly are you hurt?" asked Sammy, inspecting a cut on Arendt's cheek.
"I'm fair hungover."